This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Psalms 102. Psalms 102. During my sabbatical, the Spirit of God spoke several things to me, but specifically, these three things stand out for tonight. He said, don't try to open doors that grace and favor have not opened. And then this strange word came. Sow a seed now while you can. He said, that's a warning. Sow a seed now while you can. And I was instructed to study the enemies of harvest, because the harvest by grace through faith is going to show up in this year. That this divine favor is only available to those who are at rest. And he said this to me. The problem with shortage and lack in our lives has been covered up by the world's economic troubles and crisis. In other words, we think that the problems we're having as Christians financially is because of the economic situation in the world. And most of the pastors bring, they say, well, it's the economic crisis, or, things are not happening because of the economic crisis. And people are this because of the economic crisis. And so the Lord said, the problems with your shortage and lack has been covered up by the world's economic crisis. But the problem of shortage and lack and harvest is spiritually based. The devil, fear, and your circumstances are what's behind your financial problems. The devil, because like he tried to block the answer when Daniel prayed to God, and he tried to block that answer from getting to Daniel. So likewise, there was a time where he tried to stop us from sowing, but now he's trying to stop the harvest from getting to you. And you think something's wrong with the kingdom of God system. There's a devil stopping up your harvest. And in the name of Jesus, I command that devil to get away from your harvest right now in Jesus' name. Secondly, fear. Afraid that what God promised that he would do to prosper you won't come to pass. And then thirdly, your circumstances begin to dictate to you not to sow, not to give, because fear said that I don't have enough. Now, you got to understand that this whole year, for the rest of the time, why are these economic things going on? Why are these things happening in the world? What is going on? And what do we need to be doing as Christian people so that we won't find ourselves going through the same things that the world's finding? This is a time of distinction. This is a time of separation from the sheep and the goat. But we've got to understand what's going on. We got to understand what's happening. And we got to be prepared to function as God has instructed us, so the Spirit of grace can come and help us out. I am still shocked that we're here. But no man knows the day or the hour. Everything that has been prophesied for the rapture of the church to be done has been done. There is only one thing the Spirit of God showed me that has not been done, and that is the wealth of Solomon and all of the seeds that you have sown, you have yet to harvest it. If you were to get the harvest of every seed you've ever sown, where do you think it would be? And there's a promise that God made that has to take place. And here's what he said to me. God will supernaturally transfer wealth into our hands by grace through faith and not by self-effort for the purpose of kingdom expansion throughout the earth to prepare the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. This divine favor is only available to those who are at rest. The only thing that can stop favor is self-effort. Now, let me read that again. God will supernaturally transfer wealth into our hands, and it won't be by our effort that he does it. There is nothing that you're going to possibly be able to do to earn that place. Nothing. There's nothing you can possibly do to make this happen. This is going to be a grace move. God will supernaturally transfer wealth into our hands by grace through faith and not by self-effort. And he'll do it for the purpose of kingdom expansion throughout the earth to prepare the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. It takes money to reach souls. And that's what the enemy is trying to cut off. They're even talking about, and talked about it this evening in Washington, capping the gifts that you can give to the church. It's an attack to try to stop the spread of the gospel. It is an attack to try to stop souls from getting saved. And in the middle of all of this, grace is going to supernaturally cause some things to happen. And you're going to be saying, how did this happen? You're going to be going through your mind trying to figure out, how did I qualify for this? What did I do to make this happen? I'm telling you right now, when it happens, you will not be able to take credit for it. The only thing you'll be able to do is lift your hands up and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I asked the Lord, I said, if you could show me some scriptures, just let me see what you're talking about here. In Psalms 102, if you're there, Psalms 102, verse 13, he says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth by glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Now we all know the appearing of the Lord is close. But we also see what is being prophesied to happen before the appearing of the Lord. The Amplified says this, you will arise and have mercy and loving kindness for Zion, for it is time to have pity and compassion for her. Yes, the set time has come. The moment designated has come. What moment? The moment of God's favor. The moment of God's grace. A designated time where the favor of God and the grace of God is going to be released on the church. A designated moment. Now see, a set time is a time initiated by obedience. And I believe that this obedience is going to be to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. The set time is a designated time, folks, a time initiated by obedience. Not necessarily on the calendar, although that may have some truth to it, but it's when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this, and you do it, favor is going to be released. We're in a time now where we've got to trust God, and God's going to have you to do some interesting things. He's going to have some of you to go up and say, I want to be a partner of this particular firm. And you think, well, I can't do that. But when you do it, when the Holy Ghost, see, only you can't make up stuff in your head. It's got to be Holy Ghost led. It's got to be the Holy Ghost that said, but you, from this day forward, you cannot ignore, regardless how strange it sounds, you cannot ignore what the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you to do. Why? Because this is the set time of favor that's going to be initiated through your obedience to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Certain calls he'll have you to make. Certain things he'll have you to do. Certain things he'll have you to invent. This is a set time of favor. God desires to release that favor on you, but it'll only be initiated through your obedience to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. All right, now watch this. Psalms 12. And we'll release these things by faith as we go. Say out loud, this is my set time, for favor. So I thank God for grace and favor in my life. I walk in the favor of God. Amen. You believe that?
Yes.
Well, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Well, that's faith right there, isn't it? Turn to the other side and say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Turn to somebody behind you and tell them, my broke days are over. How about you? Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Don't be sitting up there saying that and then you have unbelief at the same time. Well, Pastor, I just don't know how that's going to happen. You don't know how much I make. You don't know where I work. Now, I need you to get rid of all of that and only believe that I'll never be broke another day in my life. Only believe. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I trust God and something good's gonna happen to me this year. Something outstanding is gonna happen to me this year. Something miraculous is gonna happen to me this year. And it's not gonna be by my effort, it's not gonna be by my might, it's not gonna be by my power, but I have submitted myself to the grace of God and the favor of God, and something good is gonna happen to me this year. How many of you only believe that? Don't focus on what the news is. Don't focus on the economy. Don't focus on none of that stuff. Focus on the promises of God. Do like Abraham. I'm not going to look at my dead body. I'm not going to look at the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm only going to look at the promise. I'll be a father of many nations. I'll be a father of many nations. I'll be a father of many nations. I'm only looking at this is the set time to favor me. I am not going to be surprised. It's time to favor me. When I get a parking space up front, it's just time to favor me. When I go to a restaurant and somebody's paying my bill, it's just that time to favor me. I just believe that every time I go somewhere, I'm walking in the favor of God. It's just that time. I can't help it. Favor ain't fair. It's just that time. And so what you do is when you see somebody being favored, don't get jealous. Rejoice with them. All right. Oh, harabasha kakalarabasha. Excuse me for a minute. All right, look at verse 1. Psalms 12, verse 1. Help, Lord. How many of you prayed that prayer this past year? This is not going to be the last year you say pray that prayer. You're going to be praying that prayer until you see Jesus. Somebody shout, help, Lord. For the godly man ceases. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattery lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said with our tongue, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over you? I saw that when some tragedies happened in certain cities and people said, well, you know, we don't need the Lord. We're fine. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, and will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purify seven times, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from the generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things God says I'm not putting up with no more. And I'm not putting up with my people being needy, and I'm not putting up with my people being poor. Psalms 119. Now, I hadn't even started yet. This is all foundation. Psalms 119, verse 123. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to God. Psalms 123. 119, verse 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation. Is that right? And for the word of thy righteousness. Look at there. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. God's going to deal with us according to mercy. There are things that should have happened to us that because of the mercy of God, it's not going to happen. When I said there's some stuff that should have happened to us, but the mercies of God, which are new every morning, because of his mercy, it's not going to happen. Yeah, you ain't been making the right decisions and how to do that. And yeah, you went back and got right back in debt after the Spirit of God told us not to. Yeah, you did all that. And there was some stuff that should have happened, but he's going to deal with us mercifully, and it's not going to happen. That's enough to praise God for right now. The fact that some stuff was going to happen, but it's not going to happen. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time. There it is again. For thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. There's this time where God is going to go to work. And when he's working, listen, you don't need to be with your effort trying to make it happen. God is getting ready to go to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people who just make light at God, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, 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 I believe in God. And they really don't. There are some things that God is going to do in the area of finances that are going to make people who don't believe him, after they finish looking at you, they are going to become believers. Y'all don't. Right now, I'm talking about a supernatural transfer that's going to take place by the grace of God for the purpose of kingdom enlargement, for the purpose of gathering souls. But there is something that we have to understand before I can even teach on this. I wrote a letter to some partners who've come together with me, and they've decided that, Pastor, finances will not be a problem for you to do what God told you to do. And they've committed $25 or more every month, and I committed to show them how to prosper like never before. And this is the first letter that I wrote, and I want to share this with you in a teachable form, because this is what you have to understand. You know, we talked about God's breaking up old foundations in order to put the right foundations in so he can do what he needs to do. Here's how it starts. You have to understand this. You may be surprised to learn that God has a plan for your money. You may have the idea that money is too vile for spiritual people. Like some of us, you may have grown up with a religious background that referred to money as filthy lucre. However, this is not a biblical view of money. God has a plan for your money. Now, before you get to moving around, you just sit right there and listen to me now. In contemporary culture, money plays a large part in each of our lives. Doesn't it? If God doesn't have a plan for our money, then a major part of our lives is not under his control. In turn, this circumstance will inevitably affect our other areas of our lives. The truth is that many Christians whose lives are not really under God's control, they try to solve their problems by becoming more spiritual. However, many times the answer is to become more practical. If you're not handling your finances in line with God's plan, then your whole life is out of joint. No matter how spiritual you may be in other areas, you will never know the real blessing and overruling of God in your life until you bring your money into line with the will of God as revealed in His Word. The Bible clearly reveals that God does have a plan for our money. Now think about it just for a moment, just common sense. We want to say God got a plan for everything else except for the largest area of that affects our lives. The number one area that affects everybody's life is an issue with money. You spend 8 hours a day trying to get it. If you don't get it right, you get depressed. It affects your sleep. It affects your dress. It affects your marriage. You know the number one reason why people getting divorces a day? Over money. And we want to skirt around with our spiritual self and say we don't want to deal with this no more because church is not the place to deal with it. And there, I never knew this until I was on this interview on television. And people think that it's vile and corrupt for Christians to have money and to talk about it. Well, that's even the worst thing that could ever happen. And look where we are now. Because the problems that we're having in churches around America right now is not because demons. It's because a lack of money. Listen to me carefully. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20 and 27, you can write it down. As a teacher of God's word, it is my responsibility to share with you God's plan for your money just as I would share his plan for any other area of your life. And here's what he said. You know, Acts 20, verse 20, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. That's what Paul. Now I'll bring it to the day. You know that I've not hesitated to teach everything I know to help you. Don't you? For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. In other words, Paul was saying that he had declared to them the whole will of God, and he had taught everything in the Word of God that would be helpful to God's people. The whole will of God includes his will for our money. It is a part of total counsel and plan of God. I want, ladies and gentlemen, to point something out to you. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. I'm kind of coming off the letter a little bit, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you this in Scripture. Still going over the letter, hadn't started preaching the New Year's Eve sermon yet. Romans chapter 12. I want to point out in a general way that God really does have a plan that covers every area of our lives. Now, this is a general way, but I want you to see this now. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The King James says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Amplified says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties of your body as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So he says, take your physical body and present your body before God. Now notice that spiritual worship includes our bodies. My body is physical. But he says I can get my physical body involved in spiritual worship. It moves right into the physical world. Some people think the body is not spiritual. Being spiritual includes doing the right thing with your body, presenting it to God as a living sacrifice. And Paul continued on in verse 2, and he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The will of God is good, it's pleasing, it's acceptable, it's perfect. The whole complete will of God covers all areas of your life, and that includes your money. And when you surrender yourself without reservation to God and learn to think God's way, you will perceive his will. Now, I want to point out something else about your money that's very important. Do not underestimate your money. Don't belittle it. Don't think it is unspiritual or unimportant. What does your money really represent? It represents your time. It represents your strength. It represents your talent. And quite possibly, it represents your inheritance. The same way I present my body and it becomes a part of spiritual worship, I present my money and it becomes a part of spiritual worship. Physical things being a part of spiritual worship is going to be based on what you do with it. Now listen carefully. Your inheritance may be money or other valuable things like houses or land that people who loved and cared for you passed on to you when their lives came to an end. And perhaps you went to college and had a fairly good education. But listen to this. All those years of education are represented by your money. Because if you did not have the education, you could not make the money that you do. Or you might have special talents or abilities that are not in the academic field and are more practical in nature. Those talents and abilities are represented by your money. And certainly, too, your money represents your time. If you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's 40 hours of your life invested in the money you earn. All that time, and you think God has no plan for it? When you invest your money, you're investing a major part of yourself for good or for bad. And I hope you can see how important it is that you invest yourself through your money in that which is good and in according to the will of God and plan of God for your life. God's plan for your life, including your money, is summed up in one beautiful word, prosperity. And this idea is stated in 3 John, and I'll read the NASB translation. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. Notice the key word in this verse. It's prosper. It covers three areas: prospering your soul, prospering your physical health, prospering your finances and material needs. And in each area, the revealed will of God is prosperity or success. In every area, it's prosperity or success. God wants you to succeed in the area of your soul, in the area of your physical body, and he wants you to succeed in the area of your finances. You have got to believe that it's God's will for you to have success in the area of your finances. Failure, defeat, frustration and poverty are not the will of God. Prosperity is the will of God for your life, and there is a grace that will cause you to prosper. If you trust God enough not to be afraid of giving financially, give God control of your finances and watch your life change. How many of you believe that God has a plan for your finances? Why do you think that the world fought it so hard? I don't know if it was the world that fought it that hard. I think the church fought it so hard. All right, now that you understand that, here's the second thing I want you to understand. Understand that we must understand that the second thing is that we must understand that God has a pattern of giving the wealth of the wicked to his children for kingdom purposes and agenda. What I have told you the word of the Lord is for this year, God has a pattern of doing that. Just like we believe in healing, we can go to the Bible and see God having a pattern of healing. Just like we believe in deliverance, we can go to the Bible and see that God has a pattern of delivering people. I'm about to take you to the Bible and show you God's pattern of moving wealth from unrighteous people into the hands of righteous people who believe in the grace of God. It's a pattern from Genesis all the way through. I'm not gonna go through all of them because we don't have time tonight, but I'm gonna go through enough of them to get you to at least sit and say, it's in the Bible. It's okay for me to expect this.
Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Some of you say, well, Brother Dollar, you just don't understand my situation. I'm as broke as the Ten Commandments that Moses dropped on Mount Sinai. And I sure hope you're right. But like I spoke yesterday, you can have faith in this, but have unbelief at the same time, and unbelief will stop your faith from doing what it's supposed to do. So you got to decide tonight that I'm going to believe God, because if unbelief is there, if you're considering, if there's fear in this, if there is worry about all of this, if there is, you know, you're sitting around, God, I'm carrying the care of all of this, you have unbelief. And when you have unbelief, your faith won't work. You got to believe God only. Somebody shout, only believe.
Only believe.
Say it again, only believe.
Only believe.
And I'm talking about in the area of finances. What I'm preaching you tonight, you're going to have to figure out how to get rid of the unbelief so that faith can prove to you that it works. But as long as you're walking around double-minded, I believe that this is going to happen, but I don't really believe it because I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. That's got to change. God's got a million ways to get you out of debt in 1 week. I don't need a million ways. I just need one. If we would put our faith into this, like we do in so many things, you're going to let God loose to do some marvelous things in your life. Now, first of all, I want to show you that you're not the only one that's been in a situation where it looked like it was so difficult to get out of it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. Deuteronomy 4:20. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace. Underline iron furnace. The iron furnace equals the Israel's captivity. That's what he's talking to and making reference to. Israel's captivity. That captivity had a hold that was so tight and so humanly impossible to break that the grace of God had to show up and do it. Now, some of you are in debt so deep that it's going to take God to show up and do it. That's that iron furnace, hallelujah. Some of you so broke, it's that iron furnace. But I've got good news tonight. If God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, was able to take Israel out of their iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day, I prophesy this day that grace is going to show up to deliver you out of your iron furnaces. So by faith, say out loud, I am delivered, from iron furnaces. Now, this is all God. This ain't you. I'm not talking about what you can do. I'm talking about, and I'm magnifying the power of God. I'm magnifying the grace and the favor of God. Israel couldn't possibly have done anything to deserve for God to come up and to deliver them out of the Egyptian bondage. What did they do to deserve it? They murmured all the time. They complained all the time. Some of them were meaner than rattlesnakes. But the favor of God showed up. And I'm telling you this day that that favor is ready to hop on your life. Amen. All right, now watch this. Exodus 11. I'm just going to just kind of walk through the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Exodus chapter 11. Verse 1 through 3. Now, from this point on, I just want to lay out the evidence, lay out the evidence, lay out the evidence, lay out the evidence. And then I'm going to show you some things that are going to help you out. While you're turning there, say out loud, my broke days are gone forever.
No more sad stories.
I look at verse 1. This is the last plague that Egypt would go through, and God spoke to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, And afterwards, he will let you go hence. But when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ear of the people, and let every man borrow. Now, that word borrow doesn't mean like we use it in today's banking term. It doesn't mean to go and borrow money. It means to solicit, to ask. So he said, and let every man solicit of his neighbor, ask, and every woman of her neighbor, let him ask for jewels and silver and the jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people what?
Favor.
And the Lord gave the people what?
Favor.
Now notice something. God told them to ask. They obeyed, and then favor was released. Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Because when you're willing to do what God tells you to do, God ain't going to show up and tell you to do something and not release the favor necessary. And he said, and God gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Favor showed up, ladies and gentlemen. Favor showed up. God spoke, and when they obeyed, favor showed up. God spoke, and when they obeyed, favor showed up. God spoke, and when they obeyed, favor showed up. All right, now, watch this. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Let's see if they're going to obey it. Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36. If you're there, say amen. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They did it. And they asked or borrowed or asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing and raiment. And the Lord gave the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, this is another thing I want you to see. When God gives us favor, it's going to be in the sight of sinners. Listen to me. God is not trying to give favor for nobody not to see it. He's going to give favor so that that unbelieving uncle can be right there and see that this is the Lord's doing and not yours. He said, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled. When you're talking about spoiling somebody, they spoiled the Egyptians by force. They just started taking everything away from them. And as a result, oh my goodness. And as a result, Exodus 15, 9 begins to tell us that, flip over there, Exodus 15 and 9. Why are you turning to these scriptures? Because I'm talking about something that people have had a hard time believing, and I just need you to know that I am not making this up. Verse 9, 15, 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoils, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. They're now coming after them because of this wealth transference. That the wealth of the Egyptians was moved from the Egyptians into the hands of the Israelites. Now, one of the things I want you to ask yourself, is God going to do this for us just so we can walk around saying, I'm rich, man. I got it going on now. How many of you know God's the most purposeful being in the world? He's got a purpose for it. If you understand the purpose for it, then you'll set yourself up for him to use you. But if you don't understand the purpose, if you're going to let money be your God, if you're going to allow yourself to do things that you didn't even earn or deserve, how you going to neglect God when after he blessed you, when you know he favored you and you didn't do nothing to deserve it? What's the matter with you? How you going to serve the car when you know you didn't even do nothing to get the car? And somebody just walked up to you and said, him, car. And now you're home Sunday, waxing the car. So that ain't a problem, but we got to find out why is he doing this? I already told you, it's an agenda of the kingdom. Look at Exodus 25. There's something God wants to do in these last days before he takes us all up. And for some reason, he needs money in our hand. God is not going to ask you to give something you ain't got. Now look at verse 1, Exodus 25, you there? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Now, first of all, had God not transferred the wealth from the Egyptians to the Israelites, then God would not have been able to speak this word to Moses, because Israel wouldn't have no money to be bringing no offering. So you be cautious and you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that when money come to you, don't run out real quick and spend it on your lust. He putting it in your hands for something. And you got to ask the Lord, who's this for? What you want me to do with this? He got to be able to trust you with what he's putting in your hand. He ain't gonna put no money in the hands of a fool, because when money gets into the hands of a fool, money is an amplifier. And if you're a fool broke, you're going to be a fool amplified. In other words, if you have adultery, commit adultery at Motel 6, you are going, and you get money to go to the Bahamas, you're just going to have more adultery in the Bahamas. Money has just amplified your adulterous ways. Mm-hmm. Some folks ain't ready for money. Uh-uh. Because a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And God's trying to put something in your hands, man. But you can't be selfish and just thinking about just you. You're not thinking about the kingdom. You're not thinking about why God put it here. You just want to get the money and just run out and try to act like you something. Are you listening to me? What was the purpose? And the Lord asked for these offerings in verse 3. He said, bring me an offering which you shall take of them. Bring me some gold, bring me some silver, some brass. Look at all the stuff that was in their hands. But then verse 8, he says, and let them make me a what? A sanctuary that I may what? God had a purpose for the money he put in their hands. What was the purpose? The purpose was what? The purpose was what? All right, now check it out. I believe that as God transfers wealth into your hands, the purpose is not changed. When people hear the gospel and they get born again, that's a sanctuary for him to come and dwell in. And that's kingdom agenda. That's kingdom purpose. I know it's coming. I know you're gonna have it in your hands. But what you gonna do? Will you help God with another sanctuary? And another sanctuary? And another sanctuary? I'm giving you the word like I did almost, I don't know, 15 some years ago when I tried to get people, get out of debt, get out of debt. Come on, do this stuff now, do this stuff now. And it kind of sat there. And then every bit of what you were wanting to do happened. Every bit of it happened. You could have gotten houses for 4 times cheaper. Every bit of it happened. And I said, Lord, what about that? He says, I'm the God of the second chance. That's that mercy. That's that mercy. Are you listening to me? This financial transfer has been prophetically spoken about through the Bible. Now let's look at that. It's been prophetically spoken about. Isaiah 61, come on. Isaiah 61. Verse 5 and verse 6. Praise God. Let's read verse 5 out loud together. Ready, read. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dresser. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory. Underline, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Gentilized-minded men, you shall eat the riches of the sinner. you shall eat the riches of the Gentile. Go to Job 27, or Job, might as well just speak every occasion. Find the book of Psalms and turn left. Job 27. You're going to eat the riches of unrighteous men. You're going to eat the riches of unrighteous men. You're going to eat the riches of unrighteous men. You're going to eat the riches of unrighteous men. But you can't be unrighteous yourself. And that's taken care of if you're born again. Amen? All right, now look at this. Verse 13. This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widow shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. Notice the call that God is going to put on the wicked man. He's going to have the effort and the work of gathering riches together, but it's not going to be for him to put on. It's going to be for the righteous to put on. All right. Go to Genesis. Well, I'll mention this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 9 through 20. You read it. Abraham and his wife showed up. I believe it was Abimelech, looked at his wife and said, boy, she fine. Took her and gave Abraham a lot of stuff for her. And just a few days there, Abraham walked out with cattle and riches and everything, because it was transferred into his hands. And plus he got his wife back, because God caused the boy to get sick and have crazy dreams. Abraham didn't do none. Now, go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Don't be waving out the window like this no more, like you broke. I prosper for the kingdom. Proverbs 13:22. Let's read verse 22 out loud together. Ready to read. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The Amplified says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. So not only leaving enough money for your children, but for your grandchildren. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up for. Oh my goodness. Brother John and I used to tell this story back when we were doing all these prosperity conventions about a good man. And we were talking, and John said when he have a funeral, he don't want no quiet funeral. When he time him to go, he want people hollering and trying to jump in the casket. And he said, I can just see it right now, man. They're in the limo just driving to the church, and everybody's just really stirred up. Oh, Papa. Papa, go, Papa. Oh, Papa. And he said, his wife said, oh, John, my sweetheart, John. And then they come down the aisle, and I mean, they just acting like they black. Oh, Jesus, 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 now, 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 Jesus, now, Jesus. They try to get in the casket. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. So they're having a time, boy, and they're going out the same way they came in, but when they got in that limo and time to the door closed, they got in that limo, oh, Papa, how much did Papa leave you? It's all right, boy. Papa was a good man because he left an inheritance. The scripture says here that there is wealth laid up for the righteous, and it is for them. Listen to what he says again. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of righteous for whom it was laid up. Do you not realize that wealth is trying to get to you? You know what the scripture says?
Please insert the next CD for the conclusion of this message.
Come on, let's keep going. Proverbs 28 and 8. Proverbs 28 and 8.
Most preachers wouldn't take time to turn to the scriptures and show you this because it's New Year's Eve and this is the time they're supposed to be showing out. Yeah, got time for all that. I got to make sure you know something. I got to make sure you know what to do when they break out tomorrow with the news and they tell you that, you know, you've gone over the cliff and you're going to have to pay $2,000 more in your taxes and this is happening. I don't want you to be messed up. I want you to say, grace and favor shall make sure I never go over the cliff. If I find $2,000 more, I have it. Proverbs 28 and 8, verse 8 says, he that by usury or interest and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And that's what we do in ministry, don't we? We pity the poor, and they're going to gather up wealth for those who pity the poor. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 26. Ecclesiastes 2, 26, right after Proverbs. And write these scriptures down, because you need to renew your mind with this, man. And every time a bill comes in, you take these scriptures out and remind yourself, favor is about to happen to me. That's a set time. Lord, what you want me to do? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the travail or the work to gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation. Look what he's got. The sinner has a call from God on his life. And the call on his life is to do the work of gathering up the wealth for the last days. He's gonna gather it up, but the just will put it on. See, I sense you struggling right now. You're sitting up here like, I believe it because you're reading it, but I don't know how it's gonna be done. You gotta get that unbelief out of the way. You up here trying to figure out God with your finite mind. How you gonna figure out how? See, if you're gonna figure out something, try to figure out how you deserve it. And you're going to come up with this answer. You don't. It's not going to be something that you can possibly do. This is what you think. Oh, but Lord, how is it going to happen? I'm just going to live, and I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And when God needs for it to happen, it's going to happen. He ain't going to let nothing happen to me that's going to kill me or mess me up. So listen, folks, it's going to be favor being poured out on you. I am not going in another year trying to figure out how am I going to get millions to preach the gospel. You know what I've done? I already got it. Now, some of y'all, you don't know what to do. It's because you're looking at me like, when you got it? See, you don't understand. This is a walk of faith. I am only going to believe what this word says. I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm not going to look at situations. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look at how many folks come to church, how many folks don't come to church. I ain't looking at none of that. I'm looking at the promise only. I'm not going to consider you, whether you're black, white, whether you're in the South, whether you're in the North, whether you're in New York or Houston. I ain't considering none of that. I believe God only. That's what it's got to be. Now, if you're not willing to do that, nothing I say from this pulpit for the whole year gonna help you at all. Why? Because you don't believe. Or you could believe, but then you have unbelief at the same time. You got to let unbelief go. You don't have a faith problem. You have an unbelieving problem. You don't need no more faith. You need to get rid of the unbelief. And that's what you're struggling with. Oh, these are such nice scriptures. Oh, praise the Lord. They're so nice. Praise the Lord. I know God can do it. I just don't know he can do it for me.
And so you get to the end of the year, it ain't happened for you. Why? You didn't believe it anyway. You didn't believe God could favor you. Or you beating yourself up. I don't deserve to be favored. I ain't been good. I told you God ain't good to you because you good. God good because God good. I told you it ain't nothing you gonna do. It ain't nothing you can possibly do to qualify for this favor. You get born again and you live like you're supposed to live, and God is gonna favor his people who will be ready to favor the kingdom of God. Amen. This ain't getting you rich so you can get some, a tattoo on your forehead. You got to be a steward of what God gives you. Amen. Look here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45. Come on. It's all through the Bible. At least you can believe it. I ain't gonna never stop preaching to you. Whether you get it or not, I'm not gonna stop preaching to you. Now see, here's the deal now. I believe this. All right, so I get up to you, I come out with my red hat on with the feather on it. You know what that means? Billionaire status has come, you know? Actual $1 billion has been deposited. But see, when it happened to me, I come out here with my hat on, the first thing you're gonna think about is that I stole it from you. It ain't had nothing to do with you. Ain't had nothing to do with you. And I'm gonna pimp that brim out red. Don't care what you say. I'm a billionaire. Don't care what you say. And you know what I'm gonna do with the $1 billion? It's all kingdom stuff. I already got everything I want, been everywhere I wanna do. Me and Tappy don't want nothing else. We can't even decide. No, Christmas time. What you want for Christmas? None. Why? I don't want none. You know what I want billions for? Souls. I want your soul. I want your soul. You give me several $1 billion, the devil better be scared. He better be shown off scared. You understand? I'm building churches. I'm training folks. I might even call you into the ministry. Well, I ain't called. Where y'all now? Come on. We're going to get this gospel out. Praise the Lord. We're going to get it out everywhere we can get it. That's why I know I'm going to get it one day. Well, let me change that. I already got it. I already got it. I'm the first billionaire preacher you've seen since Solomon. Look at you. Some of y'all don't know. Don't look at me like that. Get in faith with me. What you say about yourself. I'm telling you, I got to get this, because there are too many people dying and going to hell. There are too many people that don't think Jesus loves them. There are too many people that don't know nothing about the grace of God. There are too many people that don't know that the blood of Jesus has already cleansed them and forgiven them of their past and present and future sin. There are people that are miserable and messed up and beating themselves up, and they don't think God loves them. And I got to get that money so I can broadcast that gospel out, so I can let them know Jesus loves you. And if I got to hire 100 full-time soul winners, and that's what they do, 8 hours a day, every day, glory to God. What, would you be more happy if I just went around talking broke all the time? Hello, brothers and sisters, I'm just as broke as you, you know, just broke. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm broke, you broke, we broke. Just sing song. Get the choir to stand up. Broke. Would that make you happy? Forget riding up here in the car. Go get a horse and buggy. And put on the side of the buggy, World Changes Pastor. Folks come out of town. Who is that fool in the buggy?
That's our pastor.
Well, what's wrong with him?
He broke.
Now you tell me how God gets the glory out of that. You can't help yourself. You can't help your family. You can't help people in your neighborhood. You can't help nobody in your church. You can't help nobody. Don't even open your mouth, because you can't help nobody anyway. Somebody in trouble, the only thing you do is say, I wish I could help you. And they sit up there saying, I do too. Isaiah, are you there yet? Look what God said he'll do. Verse 2, I will go before thee, and I'll make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. God says, I'm going to give you treasures of darkness. I'm going to show you where stuff is hidden. It was a secret, but I'm going to show you where it is. And the reason why I'm going to do it, because I want you to know who I am. I am the God of Israel. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of Creflo $8. Hallelujah. I am the God that'll show you. I'll show you where it is. That's a promise. I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. That's weed money. Somebody dropped when they were running away from the police. Wicked, wealthy people don't even have a clue what they're doing. All they're doing is making money and sticking it in a bank somewhere. And they don't even know they're working for me. They're working for you. Next time you're at an airport, you see a rich man with a nice $5,000 suit on and got alligator shoes on so fresh they still snapping. You just be kind enough to open up the door. He running. Let him have your limo. Tell him to go in there. Hit the back of the car so the driver can take off. And when the guy's standing next to you, say, who was that guy? Did you know him? You say, yeah, he worked for me. This has got to be our faith speaking. You say you believe it, but you don't ever want to talk about this? Money will never take the place of my God. Not ever. If that's an issue, don't you worry about it. You ain't getting none of it. But God gonna always be first. And you know the first priority? What do you want me to do, Lord, with it? I didn't get it. It's yours. What you want me to do with it? It's yours. You tell me what to do with it. What you want me to do with it? You know what it feels like to show up and a family going through something? And sit down there and write a check out and say, here, your house paid for. You know what that feel like? You know what that feel like? I know what it feel like. My wife know what it feel like. Man, that's the greatest feeling in the world. We didn't go into a depressed grief.
Oh, I can't believe we wrote that check, baby.
Oh, crap, Lord, I can't believe we did it either, Jesus. We must be stupid, Lord. Oh, God. The biggest blessing in the world. To be able to show somebody your God's love. Show somebody God's love. They didn't know what they were gonna do. I talked to a guy the other day. Lord told me to write him a check. You know what he's getting ready to do? He said, I went behind the dumps, I had the gun ready, it was loaded, I was gonna blow my brains out. I said, for real? He said, yeah, but y'all called me and told me to come over. You had something for me. So I thought I'd do it afterwards. Seriously, just told me this. I said, what happened? He said, I ain't know God would take care of me. I'm messed up. I'm hungry. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nobody. I didn't know God would have nothing to do with me. And what you don't understand is when you wrote that check out and took care of me, you gave me a second chance at life.
That was another sanctuary. Went from being an atheist to a Christian filled full of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 73. Come on, come on, come on. It's going to take faith, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to take faith.
Faith, only belief, not belief and unbelief. It's going to take belief, only belief. I believe God, I'm going to focus in on the promises. I believe God, I'm going to focus in on the promises. And I'm going to trust God that even if I don't get what I pray for, I trust him enough that he know I didn't need it right now. I'm going to trust God. I am not going to be mad at God because of something didn't go my way. Psalm 73, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know that happened. You're looking at it, seeing all these thugs going around with all these billions of dollars, and you're trying to live right, do right, and everything. You're trying to figure out how they got money, and I'm in church, I'm living right, I don't cuss, drink no more, I'm trying to do the right thing, and they got money, and they ain't got no money. I'm broke, and they got all the money. They got the money, they cussing, they doing everything. What you think? Well, I might need to go and do what they do, and then you do it, you're still broke. You just broke either way you go. He said, I was envious, man, when I saw the prosperity of the fool. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly. They prosper in the world. They increase in riches. What is up with that? What is up with anybody ever did that before? I mean, you ain't got to tell on yourself, but I mean, you know, looking at folks, say, how they do that? A thug making $50 million. And all they're doing is running across the stage. 1,000 Negroes across the stage with mics and running and. $50 million. You ever thought about it? I'm finna get my friend. We're gonna run on the stage too. Here's why you ought not ever get upset or envious about that. Because here's what the scripture says in verse 17. He says, I was jealous and I was envious at the wealth of the wicked, verse 17, until I went in the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. In other words, he was saying, look, don't worry about all that. They're working for you, gathering it in, but you know where it's going to end up at? So keep it up, boy. Keep it up. Keep it up, boy. Keep it up. I might even come. Go on, work, boy. Work, work. Work. Bring that thing on in. Work. Work. Because I know where that's going to end up at if you don't get saved. James chapter 5, we're almost there. So every time you hear a rap singer using my name, boy, work for me. Yeah, that work for me. Use my name, boy. Tell them where that money coming. Tell them. I don't care about no New Year's right now. And it ain't gonna be happy if you broke. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to make sure you have a happy New Year's. Don't be talking about no happy New Year. You broke it. It ain't no. You don't want no. You don't. You better leave it. Don't interrupt me talking about no happy New Year. It ain't happy right now. You're in debt. Your house note. You got a car note. You're eating hamburger helper without the hamburger. You got Kool-Aid with no sugar. Your weave all messed up. You can't afford to get another one. Don't come talking about no happy New Year. It ain't happy yet. But if you let me finish this revelation, I can make sure it get happy for you, baby. I done preached the light side in the back. James chapter 5. I can see people saying that. I'm like, dog, I just said Happy New Year. You know? Dang, you know. Hey, what's wrong with him, you know? Okay. Two more scriptures, all right? Now that I'm finished, but two more scriptures, and so you can get up and say, Happy New Year. But I don't want you saying Happy New Year. Can I borrow $5 to get some gas on the way home? All right, verse 1, James chapter 5, verse 1. James chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, you rich men. Look what he tells them to do. Go and weep and howl. It says, go and weep aloud, lament over the misery that shall come upon you. Now, what is it that's going to cause a rich man to start weeping? He done lost his money. He done lost his money, y'all. This boy looked up, man, went and checked his bank account, you know, hit them numbers. It says, your balance is zero.
Well, when that?
Verse 2, your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. All right, now watch this. This is how we get it. Watch this. Behold, the hire, that's the paycheck, right? That's the money. The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. So it's saying the money that was owed crying now. It's crying out. And then it says, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, that's over the angels. Here's what he said. Money is crying, and we are crying. Not sobbing, but we're declaring. We're opening our mouth up. We're saying something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The money's crying. I mean, the next time you're in a neighborhood, roll your window down and stick it out, stick your ear out, and you'll hear the house saying, please come and get me. Kick these sinners out of here. I don't belong to them. I belong to you. Come and get me. Call me. Believe, demand. I want to come to you. I want to come. I belong to you. And you don't get that. You let the world talk you out of what belongs to you. You don't even believe it belongs to you. You sitting here listening to me tonight. I ain't got no right to be rich. And what make me think I got a right to be rich? I don't know how I'm going to do that. And I'm telling you, it was made for you. The silver and gold is the Lord's. Hallelujah. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's trying to put it in your hands, and he can't do it because you don't believe it. You don't believe it. And the day you start believing what I'm preaching, supernatural things are going to start taking place in your life. And then let me show you this last area. I ain't finished, but I got to find a place to quit. So y'all can go to the after party. Gotta make sure my wife ain't looking at me like, come on now, you messing with my stuff tonight. 2 Corinthians 9. Now watch this carefully now. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap what? He which soweth bountifully shall reap what? Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a what? Is there any doubt that God's talking about giving financially into the kingdom of God? All right, now watch this. Here's what took me 31 years to get. Once you give financially, what is it that I'm supposed to be believing for? Am I supposed to be giving financially and then go to God with a dollar amount and say, well, Lord, I've given financially, so I need you to give me back financially? Let me show you what the Lord showed me. See, because man is the one that prints money down here. God ain't gonna let no money rain from heaven because it will be counterfeit. God can only give you what he's responsible for giving. Look at verse 8. And I'm gonna show you what God's able to give you. And God is able to make all. Do you understand what you just read? Not two graces, but all grace. Abound means to increase, to abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Here's what he says in the Amplified. When you sow, here's what you believe for. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. In other words, now when I give, I sow and I say, Father, I believe I receive all grace and every earthly favor. Someone said, why would you do that? You take $1 billion and put it next to all grace and every earthly favor and watch it shrink $1 billion. See, when you get all grace and every earthly favor, there may be situations come up in your life where you don't need no money to do that. You got the favor of God. Or there may be situations where you need the money and the money is there. But the thing you believe for is all favor. Every grace and earthly favor to abound towards you. Every earthly favor to get on you. Praise God. Now look at this. I'm going to read this to you. Taff and I were with my spiritual parents and we were talking about this. And Brother Copeland gave me this. I want to read it to you and I'm done. Stay where you are. Stay steady. Your greatest blessing ever is at hand. Satan tried to steal the word, but he failed. No one can stop my plan for you. Your faith has caused it to be set, fixed, and established. Act it out. You'll be glad you did. I'm teaching you grace. Keep it on your mind. The thing that I can do, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, is to make all grace abound towards you. And that's what is happening for you and to you and to your ministry and to your family right now. So be blessed. Enjoy my grace. It's yours. All grace. Say out loud, I am a possessor of heaven and earth. I possess all grace and every earthly favor in abundance, abounding towards me now. In Jesus' name, I have all grace. I have all grace. Bow your heads. Now, Lord, we're getting ready to act out on what we just heard. We're getting ready to sow the first seed of 2013. And we're sowing in faith, believing for all grace for this year. Now, Father, speak to us. What do we need to do? We want to show you that we're willing to obey your instructions and your leadership and your guidance. Speak to us that we may sow, not sparingly or grudgingly, but cheerfully. Cheerfully, because we know that all grace is abounding towards us right now. We believe for all grace. We believe for every earthly favor. And as we give this seed, we thank you that there will not be a need in 2013 that will not be met supernaturally by the favor and the grace of God. That we're not going to be moved what's in the bank, because you can cancel our debts with nothing in the bank. You just favor us. And that's what we're believing for, Lord. And we declare that there'll be no greed or anything that'll come and try to replace you in our lives. We're ready for this transference. Favor us, Lord. We're ready to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and prepare your offerings and sow in line with some of the things you read with me tonight and some of the things you heard tonight. Sow in line with that. Be cheerful when you're sowing. Somebody said, Brother Dollar, I really don't have a dime tonight. Take a piece of paper out and write an amount on the paper. Sow something. Sow something. Everybody can give tonight. Whether it's an amount on a piece of paper or real cash, everybody can give tonight. Release your faith into what I'm preaching tonight. Do not let 2013 sneak up on you and you end up going through something you don't have to go through right after I just gave you the answer to it. Just preach the answer to it. Now you got to study it. You got to get your faith out there. You got to get rid of the unbelief so your faith can work. This is going to be the most dangerous time for mankind, for human man. It's going to be the most dangerous time. But for those of us who are in Christ, it won't be. You plead the blood over your life. You sow into the kingdom of God. God will take care of you. Don't murmur and complain about inflation and things that are happening. You focus only on what God promised you. Focus on Him. Don't get caught up in all of the stuff that's going to be going on. Focus on what God promised you. And if you'll do that, oh, you'll come out without the smell of smoke. You'll come out blessed. If you don't expect for anything to go on to happen. Remember, even though grace and favor is by God, it's accessed by faith. We access this grace by faith. So it's going to require your believing and it's going to require your faith in order to access this grace and favor or be in a position for it. We're asking God to help us articulate the deeper meaning of what it means when it talks about self-effort and all those kind of things. When you know you have to operate by faith and you know all the things you do to operate by faith. You believe God. That's what you do. You believe God, and you believe only God. You focus in on the promises. You consider the promises. Unbelief comes through your thought life. And so you have to allow your thoughts to be governed by the Word of God so that unbelief won't get in there, and it will short-circuit your faith. Get yesterday's tape. Don't let it short-circuit your faith. I believe only. I believe only. God says He'll take care of me. That's what I believe, and that's what you'll have. That's what you'll have. Don't get to looking at some of this stuff on the news, man. Don't even expose yourself to it. It'll just get in there, and all of a sudden you believe in God on one hand, but then you got this other thing because of what you heard and all that, and you're just like, oh, man, I wish I hadn't even heard that. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. I don't know any other way to tell you that this year is going to be all about economic issues, and it is a diabolical, demonic attack against the kingdom expansion. And you cannot become a part of that. You need a job? You believe God. You'll get it. I don't care what they say. You need money to take care of certain things? You believe God. You sow. And that's proof of your trust for God. It's going to be all right. You got to be a giver. And you got to believe God. You're going to be fine. But if you don't do those things, I'm telling you, Please don't make me have to replay this next year saying, I told you. This could be a great year of deliverance of all the things that you didn't take advantage of before. It's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you. Don't find yourself in places where you don't need to be. Trust God. God is not going to suspend certain laws just to stop you from dying when you did something stupid. Laws were given to bless us, but those same laws, if violated, will kill us. The law of gravity, it blesses you. You can sit in your seat without floating around. All right? But if you decide to jump off the Empire State Building, God's not going to suspend the law of gravity because you made a dumb decision. Same thing financially, same thing with every area of your life.
There are laws that are given to bless us. Learn the laws, understand the laws, obey them, and God Almighty, the laws of faith, will come through for you. Believe God only. Hold your offerings up here, New York, Houston, Norcross, Marietta, Macon, Villarica. Hold your offerings up. This is our seed. We sow it in faith. We believe that when we give, it's given unto us. But we sow this as a seed for the entire year. We sow this seed declaring that Jehovah Jireh will provide for us and that we'll have no lack or insufficiency. We sow this seed believing for all grace and every earthly favor abounding towards us. We sow this seed as possessors of heaven and earth. And we declare all grace abounding towards us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as soon as you put it in the bucket, then it's a happy new year. Because you got seed in the ground. Amen. You got seed in the ground. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's going to be happy. Yeah, happy. Going to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. It's going to be happy, praise God. A happy new year. Yes, it is. I'm so glad to be out of 2012. This is a happy new year. The best year of your life. And if we should be here at the end of this year to celebrate 2014, pray, Lord. I said, pray, Lord. But you make a decision right now. By faith, I'm happy. This is going to be, I'm not going to have any issues financially this year. I have all grace. Come on, I have all grace. I have every favor and earthly blessing that has come to me in abundance so that I may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid, no welfare, no support, no stimulus check furnished unto me. For I have it now in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Yes, amen. I have all grace.